In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. This is the second Sunday in Lent, and our Holy Mother, the Church, shows us Christ glorified on Mount Tabor. We see his divinity, his glory, his majesty, and we, like the apostles, should be struck with awe at the majesty, the wonder, the beauty. And we should, at least spiritually, fall on our faces like the apostles. We're not worthy to be here. We're not worthy to see such great things. But I take you back to last Sunday, the first Sunday in Lent, and we saw our Lord going into the desert to be tempted by the devils. And there he suffered hunger from his fasting. He suffered the temptations of the devil. He suffered all these humiliations. And I put these side by side so that we can compare them. Not only compare them, but I'm hoping that we can see that they are truly inseparable, one from the other. We cannot have this glorious Christ without the shame, the indignity of his humanity and suffering. There is no resurrection without first the death, without first the crucifixion. But as I mentioned, I want to kind of bring all these together to show you that they are inseparable. We see it in the world all around us. Our Lord even gives us the example of a woman in her labor about to give birth to a son, and how she is filled with pain, with sorrow that her time is now at hand. But as soon as the child is born, the tears go away, the pain subsides, and nothing but joy fills her heart that now this son has been born to her. I guess she's just as happy with a daughter too, but we won't go there. Joy fills her heart, and so now the pain is forgotten, but it isn't gone. It was still there. But somehow now the pain is made worthwhile. It has value. And it is the same in our spiritual life. We must embrace the spirit of penance during this season of Lent, and it should not be as gloomy and mournful as we are wont to make it be. Oh, how terrible that we have to fast, that we have to abstain, that we have to do penance. It is so oppressive, so overbearing. And many I've even heard said that they can't stand the weight of it. They want to get away from it as quickly as possible. But if you run from the desert where Christ fasts, where he is being tempted, you do not get to go to the mountain of Tabor either. And it seems to me, if I look around the world, the more we try to avoid pain and suffering and discomfort, the more pain, suffering, and discomfort we end up experiencing. If you don't want any discomfort, don't get out of bed because you might fall down. But it gets kind of boring staying in bed all day. There's a risk with everything. There's a pain with everything. There's a discomfort with everything. But there's also a joy. If you want to avoid all pain, life gets boring. It becomes monotonous. It becomes tedious. And it becomes a pain. So many, whatever their addiction, they look to escape their problems with their addiction. They're running away from pain. They're running away from discomfort. And what happens in their addiction? The next morning, there's a hangover. There's withdrawal. There's pain. There's agony. There's suffering. And far from drowning their sorrows away, they've only created another sorrow, another problem. And it is the same spiritually. If we run away from our Lenten penances and sacrifices, try to do as little as possible, try to avoid all discomfort, all suffering, all sacrifice, we end up with nothing. We don't make any spiritual progress. On the contrary, we probably slip back further. And the joy that should be in our hearts with the love of God isn't there. It dies out. And that is a very delicate flame to keep burning. It needs to be nurtured. You can't just build a fire and walk away. It has to be maintained. And if you want to use that to heat your home, you have to get up in the middle of the night and put wood on, stoke the fire. Keep it burning. And the fire of the love of God in our hearts needs to be kept burning. And that's why the religious orders, traditionally, they get up in the middle of the night. They have their prayers in the middle of the night. They get up early in the morning, throughout the day. The designated hours, come and pray. And they pray not just for themselves, but they pray in the name of the entire church. And everyone looks at those poor religious, how they suffer, how they sacrifice. But very few people see the joy in the religious heart, where God reveals himself as he did on Mount Tabor in all his glory, and they can't experience the consolation and the joy of kneeling before the tabernacle, because their eyes can't see that far. They're unwilling to make the sacrifice, so they never receive the joy. But I wish to show you that this sacrifice and the joy go hand in hand. In the peace prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, it says, "It is in giving that we receive." Your greatest joy is in doing something for somebody else. Not in what you get from somebody else, not in what you have, not in your comfort, not in playing with your toys. Your greatest joy is in doing something for someone else. And I will challenge you, you want to have perfect joy? Do something for the love of God. Make a sacrifice for the love of God, and you will find that there is joy in that sacrifice. Yes, there's still the pain, there's still the discomfort. The pleasure is a physical thing, the pain is a physical thing, but there is a supernatural joy that envelops the physical discomfort, that makes it all worthwhile. As in the example Christ gave about the mother in labor, it is all worth it because of the joy that now fills her soul. We can look around the world, the discomfort of taking a trip to go on vacation, the bother of packing and preparing and planning. It's all made worthwhile when you get to your destination. It was worth it because this is what I wanted. And even that is self-centered. But now if you try to make someone else's vacation better, and you try to make sure you have everything in line for someone else so that they can enjoy, you will find joy in those preparations, in those labors, in those discomforts. And so when we look upon the penances of Lent, I ask you not to think about, oh, I'm going to fast so that I can lose weight. I'm going to do this so it will make me a better person. Why don't I feel pleasure in that? Because it becomes selfish. It's like preparing for the trip for yourself, making sure you have everything you want, everything you need. You want the Lenten penances, the Lenten sacrifices, the mortifications to benefit you. You have to do them for someone else. And then they will benefit you. When you do something for someone else, it will come back 100-fold to reward you. So this Lenten season, let us see Christ on Mount Tabor. It's not incongruent with our Lord going in the desert to fast and be tempted. It is the same Christ. It is the same message. We need to go into this season of Lent, approach our penances, our mortifications, our sacrifices for the love of God, for the conversion of sinners, for the increase of vocations, for the salvation of those whom we love, for the greater honor and glory. Pick something. Anything but yourself. Do this penance for someone else. And it becomes lighter. It becomes sweeter. It becomes more of a joy. You want to know how to persevere in a prayer schedule that you sent for yourself? Do it for someone else. I'm going to say my rosary every day this Lenten season. For what purpose? Oh, so I can be a better Catholic, so I can grow in the spiritual life, so that I can love God more. You'll get tired of it. It grows old. It becomes monotonous. Pick someone beside yourself. Say the rosary for the relief of the suffering souls in purgatory. And you will find it much easier to grab that rosary every day. No matter how tired I am, the souls in purgatory, I've promised them this, I'm going to deliver. Because I love them. I'm going to do this for the conversion of someone that I love. I'm taking that upon myself. I'm going to do this so that there's an increase of vocations. As I say, anything but yourself. Pick some good purpose. And you will find it's easier to motivate yourself to accomplish your goal. And not only will you be aiding someone else, but joy will fill your heart. Your penances, your sacrifices, your prayers will bring joy to your heart. There's still prayers, there's still penances, there's still sacrifices, there's still the discomfort. But now, alongside of all of that, is a supernatural joy, a supernatural happiness. Because I'm doing it for someone else besides myself. And in doing something, in giving to others, I myself benefit. And when I can elevate this and do this for the love of God, I experience the supreme joy, the supreme happiness. But we don't believe it because we haven't tried it. We're like the apostles. Our Lord says, "Ask anything in my name and it shall be given you." The reason you haven't received yet is because you haven't asked. The reason you haven't experienced this joy? Because you haven't asked. You haven't really tried. Let us not be afraid of Lent, of sacrificing in between meal snacks, of sacrificing meat so that we have to eat terrible fish. I mean, who doesn't like shrimp and lobster? It seems just incongruent to me. But if we're sacrificing because we're forced or for some selfish reason, yep, it's impossible. It's too hard, it's too difficult. But if I can love as Christ has loved, I can embrace my cross as Christ embraced his cross. I can deny myself as Christ denied himself. I can do the will of God who sent me as Christ did the will of God who sent him. I can do all things in Christ. I can do all things when I truly love. And if I truly love, nothing is too hard, nothing is too difficult. On the contrary, everything becomes pretty easy. Becomes pretty tolerable. It actually becomes pretty lovingly, pretty comforting, if you will. So that now we no longer even want to be separated from our penances, because our penances bring us such joy, such relief, such comfort. We are hesitant to give them up. That is my goal for us, not only this season of Lent, but for our entire lives, that we are filled with such love for God, such love for our fellow men, that we actually cherish our prayers, our penances, our sacrifices. And then when we hear the words of Christ, "You want to be my disciple? Deny yourself daily, take up your cross and come, follow me." It won't sound so hard, it won't sound so impossible, but it will actually become something that we know is true, something that we don't want to give up for anything else in the world. How could I give up this sacrifice when it brings me such consolation, such joy? Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.